Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Teams from Texas on their way to the Final Four. Will we get two teams from L.A. in the Final Four? We'll find out tonight.
The Cougars represent Houston. I mean, the Texans, not so good. Astros, not so good.
Rockets, all
not
bad.
So good. Go Cougars.
Yeah, at least one team in Houston is getting it right after the Astros sort of bad karma. Yeah. That's what happens when you cheat. Bad karma happens.
Effect.
But maybe they can make change it. Maybe they can launder the karma. We'll see. Now, Chris Kenny joins us here. Alan Hahn with Jay Will, KJZ. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Chris, we had Mike Tannenbaum on in the first hour, and we played Grade the Trade. And I'm curious what you think about the grade he gave the Jets for a trade they didn't make. You know how they say sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the Jets were not involved in the trade as the Niners moved up in the draft. The Jets stay at number two. And Mike Tannenbaum gave the Jets this grade and explained why.
I give them an A-. I think it's about chasing greatness. And if you're in the AFC East, you're chasing Josh Allen for years. You were chasing Tom Brady. Josh Allen is the standard. Zach Wilson, in my opinion, has a higher ceiling than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, to me, is a B. He is Kirk Cousins. He is a solid NFL player. Zach Wilson has a chance to be great. I really like the fact that they stayed there. They didn't take an opportunity to maybe get all these extra picks, move out of the second spot. So when you're chasing greatness, you want to get the best player you can. I think they deserve an A- because of it.
A-, Chris, you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree with him from the simple standpoint of the Jets brass having some conviction about who's going to be their quarterback moving forward. After the evaluation process, they looked at it and they said, you know what? Sam Darnold is not the best option in terms of getting our program where we want to go. And we want to go with a quarterback that we feel has more upside than Sam currently does. After three seasons, Sam's career trajectory ain't pointed toward being a great quarterback, being an elite quarterback. But at least you could make the claim that Zach Wilson, at some point, based on the physical tools that he has, gives you a chance to develop into a quarterback that would be in the top 5 to 7 in the NFL, would be a quarterback that's capable of leading your team to the playoffs and potentially competing for championships. So if you're Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh and you didn't draft Sam Darnold and you don't have any skin in the game when it comes to his career and his future, it seems like with the second overall pick, you would lean toward the prospect, that quarterback that gives you more upside. Because, again, when we're talking about the conversation with Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson, it all comes down to potential. And right now it's clear that the Jets feel like Zach Wilson has more potential than Sam.
You know where the safest place to be is during the storm? In the eye of it. That's exactly where Joe Douglas is. And you know what he's doing? He's just sitting there. He's watching all this chaos.
I like this.
Going on around him, right? Just watching it circle. He's watching all the talk about Zach Wilson. And look at the arm talent, the pro day. Look at the potential. What are you guys going to do with Sam Darnold? You guys didn't engage in a trade with San Francisco. It's a lock. You're taking Zach Wilson. And Joe Douglas is just sitting there, CC, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and be patient. Because as we get closer and closer to the draft, teams are going to start getting very, very desperate.
Carolina.
Maybe Zach Wilson is my guy. Or maybe a team is willing to give up a haul for Zach Wilson. The more people keep talking about him, let them keep gloating about him. We might love him. We might take him. But depending upon what you're willing to offer, there's still a lot more room. There's still a lot more game left to be played. Even if there isn't, Joe Douglas is going – he's in a great position right now. He's in a great – just sit and wait. You don't have to do anything. Just sit and wait.
It's hard to imagine that you would get an offer from Carolina that would be richer than the offer that the 49ers gave the Dolphins to move up to three. Like, it's just hard for me to imagine that.
And Chris, isn't that how the draft works, though? You want to jump ahead of somebody to get the guy you want.
I understand that, but you know there are rules when it comes to how many future draft picks you can trade in the NFL.
Okay.
There are certain rules to how they do
like
this.
Like in the NBA, the step-in rule?
There's certain rules to how they do this. So I guess I'm having a hard time seeing a package that the Carolina Panthers could put together that would be more attractive than what the 49ers could have potentially offered the New York Jets.
Mike Tannenbaum offered a three-way trade.
Well, here's the thing. I'm just saying the 49ers, if the Jets wanted more than what the Dolphins got, the 49ers did have position players that they can throw into that. That would be really attractive to the Jets. I don't know that there are a lot of guys on the Carolina Panthers roster that Joe Douglas would be interested in. And then beyond that, it's a matter of whether or not you believe Sam Darnold can take you where you want to go. Like, I think that's what it comes down to. I don't think you can let the compensation get in the way of the evaluation of the actual player.
That's the key part.
And that's, to me, the biggest thing in all of this. Like, if Joe Douglas and Rob Saleh don't think that Sam Darnold is a championship-level quarterback, then this is the time to pivot as an organization, because you do have the second overall pick, and this is a quarterback-rich draft. I mean, Alan, we're having a conversation about potentially four quarterbacks going with the first four picks.
Right.
We've never seen anything like that in the NFL. I thought it was a big deal in 2018 when we saw five quarterbacks go in the first round and four in the top 10. At that point, we'd never seen that happen at the top of an NFL draft. So, I mean, this is a really good draft class. And if you're the Jets, this is a great opportunity to figure out the long-term solution at the quarterback position. I mean, it's been a really long time since you could say the Jets had a true franchise quarterback.
A very, very, very long time. A conversation that we will continue, of course. But one we just had a few minutes ago that I wanted to bring callers into was something that Jay brought up and ran us through a bunch of names, this involving the NBA, and Zion Williamson and how well he's been playing over this long stretch of games where he just continues to put up numbers and efficient numbers and playing more a point guard position. And he talked about star level as we're waiting to see. Is Zion now going to be that guy that does take the torch from LeBron James? And we threw it out to the callers, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. So I thought, Jay, let's get a couple of reactions from around the country about that conversation. So we'll go first to John in Birmingham, Alabama. John.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, John?
Hey, so I think, honestly, man, we should hold off on trying to force the narrative on making Zion the face of the league. I love his game. His ball handling is so underrated. And another thing, I feel like Pittsburgh should try to go for Sam Darnold. I think we're wasting our time on Dwayne Haskins. What y'all take on that?
Well, first I'll say, John, who's a bigger blockbuster personality in game in the NBA right now besides Zion?
That's a good question. Other than LeBron, I mean, who's people running to the TV to see? Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. John Morant, it's so many other young talents. We just can't pick out one right now.
Well, I hear you. That's subjective, brother. That's your opinion, and, I understand that. I'm just saying, I think as we talk about the league, it's interesting, right? Like, LeBron James is by far was the best player in the league. You know, maybe that's changing a little bit. If that's James Harden, if you want to put him in that category, that's Kevin Durant. If he's fully healthy, if you want to put him in that category, why'd you make that face?
Because when we talk about, the torch, it's like, we're not passing over players. It's the next generation guy.
Zion's 20 years old.
Yeah, that's the point. You could say, of course, that there's still a James Harden, but James Harden's over 30. Like, you've got to understand what we're trying to say. This isn't about who's the best player in the league right now. It's who's going to be the next one. That's what it's always been about in the NBA. It's always been who that next one is. When Kobe came in the league as a teenager, it was like, there's something special about this kid. He and Michael met in that All-Star game at the Garden. That was such a moment, and that was that passing of the torch moment. We had him all the time. And then LeBron comes in the league, the chosen one, and everybody talked about the hype and can he live up to it, and he did.
Yeah.
And now it's, well, who's next? It doesn't mean there aren't other stars right now that could be the face of the league, but we're saying for the next 10, 15 years, who is the guy that's going to carry this league once LeBron moves on? And Zion just seems to be that guy. One more. Let's take JR in Atlanta on this. JR.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Good.
Just to answer the first question, man, I think that as talented as Zion is, a lot of his game is built around his force and his athletic ability. I think when you look at somebody like Luka, who has a complete game, who can put the ball on the floor, who can make outside shots, make his teammates better, I think that when you look at passing the torch, you got to look at somebody who could complete a lot of different phases of the game. Real quick, but Jado, I wanted to ask this. The template of the NBA, do you think it's going to hurt that the kids coming up are seeing what Kevin Durant and what these guys are doing by joining forces versus having somebody like Damian Lillard? Do you think the template of the NBA changes if kids see the way that Dame's doing it is not as the most popular way to try to go about having an NBA career?
Well, appreciate you calling in, JR. I feel like it's going to be ebb and flow with that. I feel like we'll have some kids that are willing to play with others and they don't really care. I think there also will be a cut of kids who will be like Dame, who doesn't care who they play with. But the only interesting thing about the second part of that question is, as you get later in your career, as you don't win championships, we know how the media is. And I don't care what anybody says. As a player, I only listen to the negative things the media said. Like, it's funny because we had Dick Vitale on yesterday. He's like, for all the times I sit here and praise players, you know, players only come to me when they hear one critique. Well, that's how we're built. That's how we're built. So if you're towards the latter part of your career and you haven't won a championship and you start hearing it more and more and more, it takes a lot of conviction to say, I don't need to chase at anybody. I'm going to finish my career the way I want.
And, Jay, just to take it a step further, it's not just the media and the things that they're saying about you, but it's also the missed opportunities that you had as a player. Mm. Because I think about my own career, and the plays that I remember the most are the plays I messed up on. The games that I remember the most are the games where I missed an opportunity. I mean, I've talked to Allen a million times about that 2007 divisional round matchup that we had against the New York Giants. We blasted them twice in the regular season, and then they came and beat us in our building on the way to winning a championship and upsetting the undefeated Patriots. Like, those are the games that I remember the most. So if you're a James Harden and you're thinking about all the opportunities you had, the two Western Conference Finals appearances where you got done up by the Golden State Warriors.
Being up 3-1 in one of them.
Exactly. I mean, you're thinking about those, and you're like, you know what? I want to change that conversation around my career. I want to get out of Houston. I want to go to the Brooklyn Nets. Like, I understand players eventually getting to the point where they want to put themselves in situations to compete for championships, because when you're at the level of the guys that we're talking about, that's all that really matters when you're talking about their legacy.
Especially in this league, that's how you are judged. It's a fun conversation. It is one we'll definitely continue. Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, getting ahead of myself. Presented by Progressive Insurance, Alan Hahn with Chris Canty in with J. Will. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com.
In the beginning of the year, every team in the country wants to be in the NCAA tournament. Every team in the country wants to go to a Final Four. And we're on the verge of that.
The Cougars claw their way to the Final Four.
This memory will last them a lifetime. And they'll always be known as a Final Four participant.
Talk about how good this Baylor team is. They are national championship good.
Baylor 81, Arkansas 72. The Baylor Bears on to the Final Four.
That was courtesy of NCAA Radio Network. So Dalen Cuff joins us right now, ESPN college basketball analyst, as we are heading in now. We got half of the Final Four set for the men's tournament. And Dalen, thanks for joining us. I have to be honest, like, for some of us who kind of like parachute into the tournament this time of year and start watching the teams with no blue bloods, not a lot of blue bloods that were in this tournament, and a couple of obvious missing teams. Sorry, Jay, no Duke. There are teams that we get to
I'm
know.
Over here just minding my business, Dalen. You know, like, just minding my business.
Taking shrapnel this morning. But there's teams that we start to get to know. And so, admittedly, the Houston Cougars. Houston is not a program that the casual fan like myself would know, but we get to know them. So tell me, why do they present such a difficult matchup to everybody they play?
Jay, you got to tell him it's hit him with the Dallin, not the Dalen, though. You got to take a shot at Duke. Let's make sure we get that straight first and foremost. Secondly, from a Houston standpoint, they're a team that really gets in you defensively. They're gonna make them feel you, and that's a team that really, in all honesty, guys, the American Conference was not very good this year. They dominated that league, but that league was not really a difficult league, and their numbers are slightly inflated because of it. They haven't beat a single digit seed in the tournament yet. So congratulations to them. They are a very difficult matchup. They challenge you physically and mentally every possession. But when they go play Baylor, that is a massive step up in class. They have not played a real high-quality opponent since Texas Tech back in, I think, November. So this is going to be a step up in class. Those guys, their physicality they have, will be met by Baylor. And it'll be an interesting game to see how they respond, because we know Baylor can score. Davion Mitchell put on a show last night. Those guards are legit. So are Houston's from a defensive standpoint. Can they score enough? We'll find out. But Houston's had a great season. They've capitalized on their opportunities here within the tournament. Rutgers was a game that they really should have lost. They found a way to win. And a lot of times when you survive in advance, you can have a special year.
Dalen, we were having this conversation the other day, and I need your unfiltered, raw opinion on this. If Gonzaga goes undefeated and they win a national championship, a great team in college basketball will be the first team since 1976 to go undefeated. But are you putting them as one of the greatest teams to ever play in college basketball if they do that?
It's a good question, and obviously because they play in the WCC, it's different than Indiana doing it in 1976 in the Big Ten, no doubt about it. But I would say this, Jay, what they do offensively is historically good. So they're going to be up there as one of the best teams of all time. Because in my lifetime, I've never seen a team offensively like this And you could probably go back to UNLV, really, in the late 80s, that team that obviously Duke ended up beating. But when they were undefeated, those guys were doing things on the offensive end and defensively that we just hadn't seen. But Gonzaga, the way they flow into offense, how easy they make something look. I always compare it almost to like ballet. It's like ballet because they make something so complex and difficult look so simple and so easy. And they're so willing passers. They're such guys that can play well together in different styles. If you want to get and run with them, you can't run with them. If you want to get in a half-court game, they will still carve you up. They are outstanding, and they do stuff special offensively. So, yeah, they're going to go down in history as one of the best. There won't be an asterisk, but there will always be detractors saying, well, they did it in the WCC. Bear in mind, in the non-conference, they went and played everybody they could, and they didn't just beat them, Jay. They dominated them. Whether it was Kansas, Iowa, UVA. WVU gave them a game. It was the one time they were down, second time they were down in the season at halftime. So they've been dominant in their games. Now they have bigger challenges ahead. If they dominate those opponents, I think they make their case even stronger to be one of the best of all time. Mm.
Yeah, Dallin, you didn't have to throw in UVA to make your case about how good Gonzaga is. I'm a Virginia alum.
I didn't really appreciate
that. But looking at Gonzaga's matchup tonight, what kind of problems can USC pose the Bulldogs?
Well, I mentioned WVU that led them at halftime. Well, WVU at the time had Oscar Tshiebwe, too, as a first-team all-league player preseason in the Big 12. Big physical guy, and they're a physical team. They got at you. USC is not physical, but they are physically imposing with their length and their athleticism. They're going to make it hard for Gonzaga to score. And, guys, Gonzaga, Drew Timmy can score in the block, but he's also, you know, he can move around, has versatility throughout the game. He doesn't live down there. But they just kill you with point paint, paints in the point, because they've got guys that can get downhill, get in the lane. They have drop-offs. They got guys that can finish with all types of moves around the hoop, but that might be taken away a little bit. USC's got that great length, and Evan Mobley, who many folks will know better as we go into the NBA draft season, he'll be a top three pick. His brother Isaiah, and all their guards are very long and very athletic. So just getting into the lane and being able to finish at the rim is going to be a bit more of a challenge. So they got to present that problem defensively, whether it's man or zone. Andy Enfield's done a great job of mixing up defenses throughout the course of the tournament and imposing their will. They haven't just beat guys, Chris. They've been dominating teams as well on the defensive end, and then they're shooting at a really high clip, much better than they shot during the regular season. That's the thing. You got to beat Gonzaga. You got to score in the 80s. You can't play and beat them in the 70s. So can USC manufacture enough points? Can they score enough? Can they make enough shots? They have to this point, but let's not, you know, sleep on Zag's defense either. They're top 10 in the nation in adjusted defensive efficiency. They can get in you at times. They start to turn teams over. They play some passing lanes. They got great anticipation. They've got good length as well. So they make it difficult. USC is going to have to score the ball. We know you can stop you, but can they score? Can they get this thing in the 80s? If they can, then they have a shot. If they can't, you're not beating the Zags in the 70s.
KJZ on the Goodyear Hotline, joined by Dylon.
The greatest rapper of all time. That's how we do it, Dallin. How we do it.
Now, Dallin, let me first, A, apologize. B, this is like MSG on no former problem. MSG Network employee crime here, and I greatly apologize. I know that is in your background as well. So Jay gave me this dirty look, too. It's in my head. I mean, I've got...
like,
look,
don't
this,
do it. I've got
hockey names in my head. I've got all kinds of stuff. It's like, wait a minute, is that...
I feel you, man. It's all good.
But I greatly apologize. But as we're talking about the Zags, and we're talking about the inevitable with them and running the table, if that's possibly, is the inevitability of getting the two beasts in this tournament, Baylor and Gonzaga, head-to-head. I mean, is that the ultimate finish?
Mm-hmm. Dee, before you even answer that, I was going to say, this is what I need to see for college basketball. In a year where there's been so much going on, the NBA season happening, football ending, baseball start, all these things, hockey, there is a lot going on, right? I think a lot of this product team, people haven't been able to see the best of the best. This was a matchup we were supposed to have at the beginning of the year. And if we're going to say Gonzaga is one of the greatest teams to ever do it, Dallin, like historically, I have to see them go through the Baylor Bears in the national championship game. I have to see it.
I want to see it. We're not supposed to root for these things, but like, let's be real. I want to see that game. I want to see it. You're right. Since COVID took it from us in December, because I really do believe Baylor's probably the only team that can really beat them, can really have their guards get in them, make you feel you defensively, can go and then have their guards score on them the other way, can play up and down with them, can grind it in half court, can match them for basically everything they can do. And then we see, okay, how good is this Zags team? I think Baylor will test that. Michigan may test that as well. Mm. USC hopefully will test that tonight. I would like to see these tests become stiffer and stiffer. It looks like they probably will. But ultimately, yes, Jay, I want to see Baylor. When Vegas put this on the board, it probably, like early February, it was Gonzaga, Baylor, or the field. I was asked that question over and over again, and I couldn't believe I was saying it, and I couldn't believe I did it. I took Baylor or Gonzaga versus the field. because I thought they were just that much better than everybody else. Baylor went on their COVID pause. That gave me pause. Michigan started playing better, as did Illinois. So it made me think maybe we won't ultimately see it. But here we are, and I think we need it. College basketball needs it. Because without the blue bloods, you do need something to, for fans, casual fans, to really latch onto. A potential undefeated season with Baylor, a team that has just dudes that get buckets and are fun to watch and have a couple losses. But guys that they got pros on their team. That's what we're missing with no blue bloods too, guys. Let's be real. Last night, the Oregon State-Houston game was a slog. You're not watching a lot of pros. Mm-hmm. You're watching ugly basketball. You're watching a defensive game. Then you watch the Baylor-Arkansas game. You started to see when you have higher seeds, you have better players. Here we got pros. That game was different. Up and down. Guys can score. Guys are getting you buckets. Guys are playing at a high level. That was just a totally different game. So college basketball needs that too. We need that stage where you're seeing the best play the best in a year where the brand names may not be as big, but we still got great hoopers out there that need to be showcased.
And if you're the Zags too, like, you don't want that asterisk, right? You want to make sure. So I would want to play them as well.
Yeah.
You know, we want them in front of us, no doubt about it.
If I'm in the Zags, I don't care. If they don't get there, they don't get there.
No.
It's still a championship for me. Let's be honest about it. As a fan, I want to see. As a player, I'm like, if they don't make it, well, I guess that's, you know, that's
not my problem.
Is
that what you're saying? Yeah. Not my problem. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
Dylan, appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate you, brother.
Anytime, fellas.
My man.
I spit hot fire.
Hot fire.
well played. Well played.
Brought to you by Wendy's, proud sponsor of the 2021 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. It is true, by the way, early in his career, MSG Networks, varsity. That's one of his first jobs out of Columbia, where he was a terrific player.
By the way, he's a basketball analyst, but yet he can also host, and he's directing traffic. It's pretty impressive what Dallin's been able to accomplish thus far in his career.
Really, so what really that does is make it more egregious that you didn't know how to pronounce his
exactly.
name.
Exactly. Just rude.
Right.
just rude, Allen. Dalen.
It's a really
I gave you this look. I was like, ugh.
As I said it, and I did that deer in the headlights, like, no.
Yeah.
Too late.
He has that chip on his shoulder, too.
The recovery.
Like, oh, he's going to say something about it now.
Yeah, he did. And I'm glad he did, but the recovery, you got to admit, was not so bad. Not so bad. All right, coming up, why one trade deadline move may have unveiled a major problem with one of the NBA's marquee franchises. That's after Jay has this from Cintas.
Today, people expect a new level of clean. That's right. Cintas provides a wide range of essential products and services that help businesses keep their facilities and employees clean and safe. Cintas will keep you well-stocked with essential supplies like face masks, hand sanitizer, gloves, and thermometers. Cintas will hygienically clean and deliver your uniforms as well. Cintas also helps you protect employees and customers with first aid, safety supplies, and fire protection services. Cintas also helps you open your doors with confidence every day. Learn how Cintas can help keep you and your businesses clean and safe at Cintas.com. Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Hey, it's Greeny. Tuesday, we'll be down to half of the Final Four, and Baseball Legends Week continues with the great Ozzie Smith. Don't miss it with me, Greeny, starting 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
KJZ, Alan Hahn, Chris Canty in with Jay Will, ESPN Radio. And in the NBA, one story that we don't talk about enough, Jay, is what's going on with the Boston Celtics. And it's interesting that Danny Ainge thought that making a move to get Evan Fournier was sort of like this message to the team of that's going to give them belief, like, we believe in you. And
we're coming.
Let's fix this problem. What's going on here? Brad Stevens could have ran away from this problem and gone to IU with boatloads of money and maybe just started over. But he wanted to stay as well. But then came this quote, as we're trying to figure out, what is wrong with the Celtics? Why are they in seventh? Why would they get blown out by the Pelicans? Why have that? They have just been this team like hovering 500 or below, which right now they're 23 and 24, now below 500 once again this late in the season. The addition of Evan Fournier. Okay, so right away, first impressions, not great. Was he 0 for 10 in his debut with the Celtics? Not a great start for a guy that they brought in for his shooting and his offense. But when talking about the addition of Fournier, who's a nice player, a good wing player, a guy that can bring you some offense. He was averaging 20 a game with Orlando. Kemba Walker said something that caught my attention, and I sent it to you last night. You and I both went back and forth on it. And Chris, this is sort of one of those things that any athlete, you can hear it, and what he says and then what he's really saying. So I'm curious your take on this certainly as well. Kemba said of Evan Fournier that he will help us a lot. He adds, he has great passion for the game, which always is a boost, especially for us. What's he saying there?
See, I feel like when somebody says that, that's a shot at leadership. It feels to me like that's a shot at either Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown. I don't know why. Jason Tatum is playing really well. I mean, he had COVID this year. Jaylen Brown, a great two-way player. But, like, it's – are you saying it about your players? Are you saying it about your coach? But it's a shot at somebody on the team in a leadership position. There's no doubt about that in my mind.
Having passion for the game is good, especially – when you say especially for us, you're suggesting that we need something like that.
Yeah, almost like we don't have that in our locker room right now, which would lead you to believe either the leaders on the team aren't passionate or the coach is not allowing them to have a lot of fun in terms of the brand of basketball that they're playing. Hmm. Either way, it's an issue. And so you're trying to figure out why can't they get this resolved, because when you look at the landscape of the Eastern Conference, there's no way that you can tell me the Boston Celtics belong where they belong. Like, we looked at this coming into this season. We said this should be a top five team in the East, no question, even with the question marks of Kemba Walker's health and whether or not he was going to be able to stay healthy. But the fact that you do have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and this team,
two all-stars.
And this team is where they're at right now at this point in the season, being below 500, that's completely inexcusable. So to me, it's clearly a chemistry issue that's happening within that team. Now, I don't know who's at fault with that issue, but clearly it's something that they've got to get figured out. I don't know how they do it.
Can I call a timeout, CC?
Go ahead.
Get a 20? Want to get a 20?
We've been talking about chemistry issues in Boston for a while now, haven't we?
Yeah, but we didn't like the messenger in Kyrie Irving the last couple of years.
Well, I go back to this, though. It's interesting. I mean, I've seen actions to a degree, but I've seen the Brooklyn Nets kind of simmer down Kyrie Irving. Like, so it makes me think, like, and I'll go back to keep saying this. We end up blaming the players a ton, and I get that. The players deserve a lot of the responsibility. There's a lot of accountability there. And maybe Kemba Walker is actually talking to Kemba Walker because he's a leader on this team as well. But at the end of the day, the coach's job is to push the talent. The coach's job is to figure out who are the right pieces on our team with the general manager and Danny Ainge to say, who gives us the best chemistry here? So if we've been talking about chemistry issues for a while now, if we're saying that they are underperforming, CC, the way you just alluded to, I've been saying this for a while too, why do we keep blaming the players? Why do we always talk about the players? Like, when is there going to start to be accountability for Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge? And I'm not saying they need to be fired, but like, when does that start to shift there?
It needs to. I do think, though, when you consider the volatility of that locker room has been, and you mentioned it, Kyrie Irving is the perfect example. It really started there, and they thought, get him out of here and everything will be great again. Has it been? And then, of course, Marcus Smart is a guy that, you know, hard on his sleeve kind of player, guy you love to have on your team, hate to play against.
Mm-hmm.
And why does he always tend to be the guy that when you hear about these meetings that they have and they air out, you know, they air out all their problems, and Brad Stevens even referenced it, how this was good for us, it was healthy for us to get all that stuff out, was it? Because the story is always that Marcus Smart's the one that starts in with everybody, as if he's maybe calling some people out for what they are doing or not doing. And then, again, a quote like that, and it might have been completely innocent by Kemba, but it's hard not to see it. And as I said, 20 years I'm a reporter. I've covered this league and other leagues as well. When you see little things like that, your spidey senses start tingling.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait a minute, what is he saying there? And I think, you know, again, the curiosity is, and I'm sure they'll discuss it more, those who cover the team, is what is he trying to say? Is there a problem in that locker room that they're almost screaming to say it, but they refuse to say it publicly? It's got to be coming out. And that's just one instance of it. Why are the Celtics where they are? It's not a talent issue. There's certainly something else there that they've got to figure out, no doubt about it. All right, so it's a massive day for two quarterbacks that we saw in the national championship game, but will either deliver the throw of the pro day season. I know. That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin on ESPN Radio.
I still think that Sam Spilling, there's hope to stay in New York. I think that's what's best for Sam Darnold.
Are you willing to listen to offers from teams on Sam?
To answer that question, I will answer the call.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Laterally, mm-hmm. You know, the lack of that mobility, would that concern you taking him so high considering he has that?
Well, Jay, well, I'm not really concerned about his speed laterally and his movement within the pocket, because there's many, many examples of him avoiding the pass rush, whether it be moving laterally or stepping up into the pocket enough to buy time and find the throwing window in order for him to hit routes down the field. And look, we've seen Tom Brady make a career out of it. We've seen Tom Brady, you know, win multiple Super Bowls doing that when he couldn't crack five flat in a 40-yard dash. So it's not something that really concerns me with him. Now, I understand when people talk about the wide zones, the stretch boots, where he really has to run laterally to kind of execute the play action fake and then maybe get out on the perimeter, that Mac is not going to look like Justin and Trey doing that. Of course, he's not. But at the same time, we're making it seem like this guy like is running a 6-flat 40 and he can't move at all, and we need a sundial in order to time him. He's a better athlete than that. So, and I think, you know, ultimately what the smartest quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators will tell you is this. For as fun as it is to watch guys like Patrick Mahomes and even Zach Wilson in this draft move around and make all these wicked kind of throws from these different arm angles, the game still comes down to can you or can you not win from the pocket on third down, because that's real. Ultimately, that's where you're going to be judged. At some point in time, you're going to have to beat people with your mind and with your arm in the pocket on third down. And no one questions whether or not Mac Jones can do that. And that's why I think we need to kind of like lay off of all the criticisms as far as his athleticism and really speak to the things and speak about the things that really quarterbacks are judged by: decision-making and accuracy. At the end of the day, it's always going to come back to that.
Louis Riddick joins us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. KJZ, Alan Hahn, Chris Kenny with Jay Will, ESPN Radio. Well, I mean, you're right that we can judge them on decision they make in the pocket, but why can't we judge them on the throw of the pro day season? Louis, right? Like, I mean, when you make a throw like Zach Wilson did in his pro day and it goes viral, we get really excited about that until you take to Twitter and remind us that, hey, Sam did this in a game one time. Sam Darnold, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? And I know that there was a few people in the Jets army who kind of got back at me on that one. I was like, oh, it wasn't as – Sam's throw wasn't as far. Oh, the Jets were getting killed at that point. Oh, he did it against San Francisco backups. It's like, look, man, I mean, let's be serious here. Yeah, I know it wasn't as far as what Zach Wilson did, but it was in an NFL game where he was still being chased down by NFL-caliber defenders. And the fact that they were behind in the game so far wasn't Sam's fault, although, you know, the Jets Nation would let you believe that Sam was responsible for every point that a team scored against the Jets and their lack of points on offense. He was responsible for it all. He's just terrible. Everything that he did really is what drug them down. It was nothing else the Jets organization did. It was all Sam Darnold's fault. Everything. But look, I understand the excitement surrounding Zach Wilson. He is a unique thrower of the football. And he throws the football in ways that a lot of us could only dream of doing. I get it. But at the same time, look, when he gets out on the football field, if he starts getting his head knocked around and he's under duress all the time and they don't have the benefit of a strong running game in order to take some pressure off of him, if they don't play good defense and if they don't protect him, Zach Wilson is going to go by the wayside that many other quarterbacks did who also looked great in pro days. It will happen, I guarantee you. So Joe Douglas and the crew up there better make sure they protect him and build this program the right way. Otherwise, that throw on pro day, it's going to be right next to all the garbage that, you know, DeMarcus Russell put out there on his pro day, which no one cares about at this point. Nobody cares what you did on your pro day. So get excited, but really what it's going to come down to is, can you win on third down? Can you win football games? Can your organization protect you? And I hope, for Zach Wilson's sake, that that's what they do in New York.
Lewis, are you convinced that the Jets should go in that direction, that they should draft Zach Wilson and essentially give up on Sam Darnold?
Yeah, Chris, you know why? Because that's what everybody wants. And right now, at this point, look, Sam Darnold really, for his sake, needs to get the heck out of there. He needs to go somewhere else where people aren't automatically, you know, 3 years removed from him being the talk of the town, where people aren't automatically saying, well, you know what, he's no good anymore. He needs it for his own sake. The Jets need it. Well, I don't know if they necessarily need it, but it's probably good for the organization to start over anew here with Robert Saleh's regime and just kind of like start from ground zero and build it up. I mean, they have time. They have the benefit of being able to do that, being a new regime. And I think it's probably just best for all parties, because at this point in time, maybe that ship has already sailed. But I'll tell you this, Sam Darnold didn't ruin his own career, or rather didn't ruin his time in New York by himself. Okay, there's a lot of people who have had their hands in that debacle. But at this point in time, you'd be hard-pressed to find people who really are willing to admit that, because no one really wants to admit the fact that football is a team sport. We'd love to individualize it, especially a quarterback, and give them too much credit, too much blame, and that's what's happening to Sam right now, and it's unfair, quite honestly, it is. But he probably does need a fresh start. I just hope, look, for Zach Wilson, you don't want to see him be subject to the same kind of things that Sam Darnold was or any other young quarterback who had no shot from the get-go because everybody around him was failing him. I just hope that doesn't happen to him. And I would think that Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh know that.
Lewis, if I could give you a standing ovation right now as a Jets fan, I absolutely would, because that is, well, it was well said, perfectly said, right on point. And the fact that you also, when you mentioned Jet fans coming at you on Twitter, you read their comments in New York accent, I give you an A+ on that one certainly as well. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you as always.
All right,
so,
Big Lou.
What would March Madness be without some controversy? That's next. Keyshawn, J. Will Zubin, ESPN Radio.